Psalm 32. We'll read the entire psalm. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. For thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, as we take a look at one of these blessings that we've received. Lord, we're going to spend these next months, Lord, doing a little accounting of what you've done for us. And I pray, Lord, that you'll make this a time, Lord, where you instill within us appreciation for all of your goodness towards us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. I said this last Wednesday or a couple Wednesdays ago that I was going to take off and preach a series in October, November, and December on Wednesday nights on counting our blessings. So we're going to go to some of the blessing portions of the Bible, going into October harvest days, and then into November, the Thanksgiving, and then on into our holiday month of Christmas. What a great time just to stop and say how God is so good to us, and stop and count in the different ways he has blessed us. Let me just ask you a question, help you with this. I almost started out with a message entitled The Blessing of Counting Your Blessings, and just use it as an introductory message. But let me say this. I want you to just take account and think about this. And if you don't get an immediate answer, just let the Holy Spirit kind of show you in the days ahead. I found out this about people. Everybody's counting something. Everybody's counting something. Whatever's important to you, whatever you're fixated on, everybody's counting something. Some people are counting money. Some people are keeping track of offenses. Some people are counting all of the negatives. Somebody, you're counting something. And you know what? You tend to take whatever you're taking accounting of, it becomes really important to you. And I think the message that question ought to bring to us is, what am I counting? And am I counting my blessings? One of the great exercises in life is to learn to take the time to realize each day how good God's been to you. Well, preacher, it's been a tough year, okay? It's been a tough year, but I'll guarantee you, if you look amongst the toughness of this year, you'll find a whole heap of blessings. You know, we want to talk about the one or two tragedies and forget about the thousands, tens of thousands. I'm going to tell you something. I don't have much patience with griping Americans. Preacher, I don't know. I'm just not going to be able to stay in this church. I just need a preacher that'll feel sorry for me all the time. That's not this church. I'm sorry. No, you're too busy doing it yourself. I'd have to get in line. I'd have to wait. Come on now. I'm going to keep staying here till some of you smile. There's no profit in it. There's no benefit in it. And let me just say this. It's pretty much borderline wicked to walk around spending our lives living in the United States of America. Well, we don't know what heart is. We don't know what heart. This generation, Dad Whittington, this generation don't know what heart is. Now, they think they do. Well, if you listen to them, you think they were just every day, you know, groveling in the gravel looking for a piece of bread. But good night. What in the world's wrong with us? And what it is, if we're not careful, we fixate on negatives. We we keep a list in our head or our mind of all of the times we were disappointed, or all the times we didn't get what we thought we would deserve, or all the times something that, you know what, good night. Folks, that kind of a life, well, I really want you to listen to me. That kind of life is going to, that kind of a thought process is going to take a toll on you, and it's going to drive you into the ground. It's going to make you a sorry Christian. It's going to make you ineffective for the cause of Jesus Christ. I mean, folks, come on. Get on the sunny side. Amen. Count your blessings. There's a lot of wonderful things God's done for you. Yes, you. Yes, the one that's had the worst of the worst year in here. There's a lot of wonderful things God's done for you. So I'm going to spend October, November, and December counting my blessings. And I get as many of you as I can to cooperate with me in this, all right? Let's look at this, the blessing of forgiveness. Are you saved? Are you saved? And you've been forgiven. Blessed, the Bible said, is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Forgiveness of sin is available. Forgiveness of sin, God wants to do that for you, is willing to do that for you. And if you've been saved, he has done that for you. And the Bible says this, if your transgressions have been forgiven, you're a blessed person. If your sin has been covered, you're a blessed person. If God has not imputed your iniquity onto your account, you're a blessed person. And so let's stop and clap our hands and be happy and say, guess what? When I get to heaven, I'm not going to have to worry about accounting for my sins. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Jesus Christ came down, shed his blood to wash away my sins, and because of that, forgiveness is available, and God has forgiven me. I want to just take a look at this psalm. Let me break it into some parts, and then we're going to do a little teaching, and then hopefully we'll do a little rejoicing tonight. The blessing of forgiveness. Now, before we cover those first two verses in detail, I'd like to look at verses 3, 4 and 5, and tell you that there are conditions for forgiveness. There are conditions for forgiveness. No, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, just the fact that he died on the cross did not automatically make everyone on earth forgiven. It just made forgiveness available. Let me tell you something else. No, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, not everybody that was the elect was automatically forgiven, and the ones that weren't are never going to be forgiven. Blasphemy. No, it made forgiveness available. Available. This whole idea that we have no part in it, folks, it's not by works, but it is by a decision. It is by a choice. Every man in here is born with a free will. And all Christ did was by a gift. All he did was make forgiveness available. And then he offers that, and every person has to decide. And we see that there are conditions, there are ingredients, if you will, of forgiveness found in verse 3, 4, and 5. So let's read that real quickly. Notice this, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Let me give you several things. Preacher, what puts us in a position to be blessed by God in this matter of our having our transgressions forgiven, our sins covered, and our iniquity not imputed to our account? Well, there's several things that must happen. And I stress these things. If you listen to me during invitation, during when I'm preaching the gospel on Sunday mornings, one of the things I'll talk often about, number one, is the presence of Holy Spirit conviction of sin. Now, folks, that's step number one. Notice what David describes here. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Have you ever had the heavy hand of conviction upon you? Have you ever? Do you know what he's talking about? Do you know what it is for your bones to wax old through roaring all the day long? Feeling day and night the hand, thy hand heavy upon me. My moisture is turned to the drought of summer. The first thing that David describes here is he was going through a period of Holy Spirit conviction of sin. I want to help you Sunday school teachers and those of you that work with children's ministries. One of the things that we've got to stress, and one of the things you'll hear me talk about when I'm giving an invitation, is you'll hear me say something like this. Say, preacher, while you were preaching, something was happening inside of me that I don't understand. Listen, folks, I am not interested a bit in talking somebody down the aisle to come down and pray a prayer and not really get saved. I want people to respond to Holy Spirit conviction that they are a sinner and lost and need a Savior. And so a lot of times I will describe that. Why do you describe that? Because a lot of times lost people don't understand what's happening to them. What's happening to them? You know, they really don't. They come in, they hear a preacher preach, they haven't had much church background. All of a sudden something begins inside of them and they don't even, they're literally, you remember? Come on now, you remember? Literally stand out there saying, what is going on? Why is that man saying these words and why do I feel like I've never felt before? And why is there this urge that I need to do something that's pressing upon me? And so you know what? It's my job to help them to understand, listen, that's God. That's God drawing you. That's the Holy Spirit. God, hey, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's nothing to run from. That's something to run towards. But that's all part of the process that God takes us through. Now, when you're dealing with children and you bus workers and children's church workers, I talk about that. I talk about that during the invitation. Be very careful of giving these general invitations. You preach a message and then you say at the end of it, anybody here want to go to heaven? Well, what kid don't want to go to heaven? If you want to go to heaven, come up here and stand by me. Now, folks, you got to be very careful. You know what? That child has got to be brought to a place where they know they're a sinner. That's why we need to preach on sin. We need to preach on sin. Okay, John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Jesus Christ. He was that voice that prepared for salvation, the salvation message. Salvation was being prepared. You know what he did? He showed up beside the Jordan River and he preached against sin. He brought them under conviction of sin. You're not ready for a Savior till you're confronted with your sin. And so this is why you preach and teach. You know why we eventually started writing our own Sunday school lessons? Say, preacher, there's places you can buy those things. Yes, there are. Get a set of them and look through them. And they'll talk about how Jesus made the flowers. And aren't you glad that Jesus made the flowers? And the flowers came from Jesus. And Jesus made the stars. And the stars came. Isn't Jesus wonderful? And they do about 13 straight weeks of that. And you know what? There's no opportunity for a young person to get under conviction. Let me tell you what's happened. The Sunday school material is being put out from a lot of the denominational sources and even some of our independent sources. They've sanitized sin out of it. I don't want sin sanitized. If you're teaching a Sunday school class, you need to deal with sin. You need to preach against sin. And you can even name it. You need to name it. Because without the preaching of sin, there's no true conversion. Until somebody comes under Holy Spirit conviction of sin, there's no true conversion. And so David, listen, we're going to get to the blessing part. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God that this is available. But this whole idea that there isn't a process that God brings us to and that it's not a choice on our behalf to seek that forgiveness is just not taught in the Word of God. So we see David describe the process here. Watch this. Number one, the presence of Holy Spirit conviction of sin. Number two, notice in verse 32, verse 5, I want you to notice the personal pronouns here. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and what's the next one? Mine iniquity have I not hid. Number two, the taking of full personal responsibility for sin. Now, this is where we're having a tough time getting people in this day and age. People, I've said, have been salvation proofed. Honestly, this culture is almost salvation proofed in this regard. They are taught and trained in their homes to never admit that they're wrong. They listen to a mom who will never admit she's wrong and a dad who will never admit they're wrong. And they come home having done something wrong and the parents are not mad that they done something wrong but mad at the person who pointed out that they did something wrong. And so they watch and are trained that any time you do wrong and someone points it out, you're supposed to attack that person and you never admit that you were wrong. But what you're doing is salvation-proofed an entire generation. And you know what? You're not going to get saved till you say, I acknowledge my sin, and it's against God. And guess what? It's mine iniquity, and I'm not trying to hide it. Boy, I'm going to tell you, this is the crux of it. We're just not seeing a lot of this take place in this day and age. the presence of Holy Spirit conviction of sin, then the taking of full personal responsibility for sin. Parents, I mean this. One of the greatest favors you'll ever do in your children's life is to get them to say, I'm wrong, and admit that they're wrong, and face up when they're wrong. Okay? Because if you don't, you're training, you're not only a salvation proof of them, but if they do get saved, you know what? They're going to have a frustrating Christian life. Because I don't know about you, maybe y'all don't know need 1 John 1:9 every day, but this preacher does. When's the last time you, come on, let's just be honest, just us tonight. You answer this in your heart, I'll answer it in mine. When's the last time you got on your knees, and though I'm not, some of you that cannot do that, I understand, but some of us that can oughta. Get on our knees, and instead of diving right into our list, wish list, when's the last time we confessed and owned up to our sinfulness before Almighty God and named the sin and took personal responsibility for it before God? I hear a lot of praying, but I don't hear much confessing. I hear a lot of asking, but I don't hear much repentance. And one of the things that we have put on our prayer, if you come to the sweet hour of prayer meeting, one of the things that we've done is we give you a tight piece of paper of things, that, because we're going to pray for an hour, you know, so we give you three tight pieces. You know the first thing that's on the list? The confession of our personal sins, the confession of the sins of a nation. Now, you do the study in the Old Testament, folks, and the honest truth is that when revival broke out, a prophet, number one, was willing to confess his own sins, and then he stood before God and confessed the sins of a nation. And I'm all for coming boldly in the throne of grace. We get that invitation, folks, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't understand this. I haven't confessed a sin in 6 months, but I'm going to march in and tell God what I want. Now, you don't understand the holiness of God. You haven't got a grasp on the holiness of God. So it's not just lost people that need to get to this place in order to be saved. It's saved people that need to often revisit this place in order to stay right. Does that help you right there? And so that's a fair question. Well, I don't want to leave it just real quick. Because we're playing a game. We ain't doing this. We're going to be right and do right and stay right, then what we've got to do is learn to say the word I and me in connection to our sin and our iniquities. Take full personal responsibility of sin. So that's, we're talking about the conditions of forgiveness. Presence of Holy Spirit conviction, taking a full personal responsibility for sin. Number three, the surrendering of any attempt to hide the sin. You see that in mine iniquity, have I not hid? The surrendering of any attempt to hide the sin. And we see a lot of this. We see folks that do something wrong, but then they want to hide it. You'll see that in your children. It's a natural thing. It's a process, folks. But we see it in our own lives a lot of times. We try to hide the sin instead of just accepting it and confessing it. And then we get to number four, the confession before God of the sins. And there it is in the last of that verse. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Now notice when that last phrase kicks in, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. When I came under conviction, when I acknowledged my sinfulness, took full personal responsibility, when I stopped trying to hide it, and when I confessed it before God. And a confession is a process. It's specific. It's verbalized before the throne of grace, where we take ownership, we name it, we ask forgiveness. And this little quick, Lord, I know I've probably sinned sometime. Forgive me of my sin and moving on. Oh, come on. You just let the Holy Spirit have a little time there. If you say, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked. He'll be sure to point out some things that you need to deal with. Now, here's what happens. We don't really, I'm going to try to help you here, folks. We don't really ever get down to the work of repentance, get down to the work of getting right and getting clean. And we haven't done it in so long, and the sins have stacked up so thick that whether we know it or not, we're hardened in so many areas and defiled in so many areas that it's really hard for us to have a normal relationship with Almighty God or much anybody else. Now, one of the things that I want you to do is in this month is rejoice. And we're going to do that in a minute. Count our blessings because of forgiveness. But let's understand that we have some responsibilities if we're going to be saved. And we have some responsibilities if we're going to stay right once we're saved. And we cannot claim the blessing of forgiveness without going through the process that leads us to repentance. If I could take the last, 15 minutes, and we could take that little session and put that in every pulpit in America and do it again and again and again and again, we might have revival one of these days. We're going to move on. But let's let the Holy Spirit deal with this sense of things. Someone asked me about this week, not in our church, but said, you're going to have your big day this Sunday. You know, what's your sense on what's going to happen? I said, I don't know. I can't read my people right now. Look right up here. That's what I told him. Another preacher. I said, I can't read my people right now. I don't know where about half of them are. I'm just being honest with you. I don't know where about half of you even are. And I may be just me. I don't know. Maybe it's me. But I don't know. I don't know what else to say except we've got a few days here. Okay. All right, we got a few days. You know, I'm not feeling the buzz of excitement I felt in the spring. I'm not having people coming up and telling me, preacher, I've invited this person, I invited that person. And maybe what I'm hitting upon is a problem. Maybe we just need to do some cleaning. God came to Joshua and he said, sanctify yourself for tomorrow I'll do great things among you. And I've never seen God do great things among God's people till there was a sanctification process, cleaning process. Every time there was an opportunity for a big miracle, you know what God would come down and tell them? Get all your idols. Get all your junk. Get it out. Burn it up. Cleanse. Clean. Wash yourself. Put on new garments. When the people of God were willing to do those things, you know what? Miracles happen. And so, you know, I don't think God deviates much from that pattern. And so let me just throw that out to you. And I promise you this. I won't say that to you and not do it personally myself. I've spent a lot of time this week just saying, you know, just before God, saying, Lord, I want to be clean. And I don't want to be in the way of something supernatural happening here at the church. And so please take the time to do that. The blessings of forgiveness, the conditions or process that we go through in this matter of repentance. And then let me just hit this because it's in this psalm. But notice before we talk about the blessings of forgiveness, the consequences of stubborn defiance. I've got to just read these few verses, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, but well, I'll tell you what, there's always a warning you usually find in these psalms. In verse number 9, if you look down there, it says this, be ye not as the horse, or now verse 6 through 9, 8, by the way, verse 6 through 8 talk about some of the benefits that comes from forgiveness. And when you go through the process of verse 3 through 5, you've got the excited announcement of the benefits and the excitement over forgiveness in the first two verses, the process of repentance, 6 through 8, there's wonderful things that are restored into a Christian's life and a person's life once they receive forgiveness. But then there's this little warning, consequences of stubborn defiance, verse number 9, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which hath no understanding, and whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. And, I put this, consequences of stubborn defiance. Number one, bits and bridles. You know, well, I don't care what anybody says. I'm not going to get right with God about that. I'm just going to, you know. Have you ever, I want to be careful here, but when I read that, I see it. When it says, be not as a horse or as the mule, which hath no one. I know Christians that I could name their name if I was cruel enough, that when it comes to this matter of getting clean and getting right, they have the understanding of a donkey and the stubbornness of a mule. And they are so arrogant and so proud and so unwilling to ever really come clean, look in the mirror and see what God sees and humble themselves and they stumble through life, and God, you know how he manages them? With bits and bridles. He manages them with bits and bridles. You know what? You can say, well, no one's going to break me. Don't ever say that. God's ridden down many a horse. God's broken many a stubborn mule. He's got the bits and he's got the bridles, and he can put them on, put them in, and put them on. And you know what? He can have you doing everything and anything he wants you to do and being thankful for it. But isn't that a tragedy? Isn't it a tragedy when we get in this stubborn mode, this arrogant mode? Young people, please listen to me. Don't get mule-headed. Don't get mule-headed. I get worried when I see young people just get that. I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to do it. Because I'm thinking bits and bridles coming in your life. God get the whip out. God will ride you down. God will break you. And it's silly. It's foolishness. What are you so stubborn about? What are you depriving yourself of? Why are you so intent on keeping your sin when forgiveness is available? Forgiveness is available. Wow. Notice what it says in verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Many sorrow consequences, bits and bridles, and many sorrows. And he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. And then I think about this, missed mercy. You know, and here's God. I don't know how the devil tricks us the way he does. But he works on our pride and our egos and our arrogance and our self-righteousness. And we get stubborn. We don't want to ever admit we're wrong. We don't want to, you know, we're not confessing this sin. We're not going to change. We're not going to do that. And here God is with loving, compassion, forgiveness. Well, come in and give us the joy of the Lord and all of the benefits that come with forgiveness, and instead we insist on living a life with bits and bridles and many sorrows and missed mercy. There's the mercy of God, and we bypass. I don't need your mercy, God. I don't want your mercy. Hey, God, just keep your mercy. Don't need it. You know, we may not say it out loud, but I've watched them. And what a tragic life. What a tragic life. My mom said this one time. I said, Mom, you've worked with teen girls for a lot of years, taught the Sunday school class and all of the things, and just counseled them. And I, you know, when I was a youth pastor, I asked her this one time. I said, what's the most important thing? What's the most important thing that you try to convey to the teenage girls? Well, I mean, without hesitation, she says, the most important thing is that they keep a tender heart. Man, that's good. I don't know if I'd have come up with that. She saw it right away. She put it right down to the root of it right away. Most important thing is they keep a tender heart. I mean, the Holy Spirit ought to just be able to just say, now you've done this. We have three daughters, and trust me, they had all kinds of different personalities, man. Well, sometimes I thought, what in the world's going on here, you know? But you know what? Hannah was probably, of all of our daughters, the one with the most tender heart. And I don't know if I spanked Hannah. I probably count on one hand the times I spanked Hannah. And you know what? Because all I had to do is just look at her, and I'd say, Hannah, and man, she'd go to tears. I don't mean these fake cries so I don't get spanked stuff. You don't know, you know. Also, the Bible also says that about your heart being without guile in this verse here. I mean, and would to God be able to say, you know what? I know all of my children have different personalities, but let me tell you something. I haven't had to spank Jerry Ross a lot, because when he senses some disappointments, when he senses that I'm disappointed in him, he wants to get it right. He wants to make it right. Now don't get bullheaded. No, don't think that stubbornness and hard-heartedness is some type of a personality trait that's attractive. It's not. Thank God for the young person with a tender heart. By the way, you want that in your children? Amen? I think God wants it in his. Thank God for the church member that has a tender heart. You know what? Holy Spirit just comes alongside and just whispers, and you know what? Boom. Lord, if I need to get that right, I need to get it right. I want things to be right between you. You know, the altar's never been a strange place for me for now these many, many years. It's not an uncomfortable place. It's not a strange place for me. You don't see me when I'm out away listening to preaching a whole lot. I get to hear some preaching from time to time, And I'm just telling you this, and if you're not this way, you're not this way, and you don't have to be Jerry Ross. But I'm telling you this, I hardly can hear a message without the Holy Spirit finding something. I want to be tender to him. I don't want God to have to look over the angels and say, get the bits and bridles. I got to deal with Jerry again. Get the bits and bridles. I got to deal with him again. You just won't listen. You know, I don't know how many times I've looked at my wife and said, why make life harder than it has to be? Why do folks make life so much harder than it has to be? You really think that you're going to win a battle of wills against God? You're going to win that? You're going to win a stare down contest with God? You know, and so take these things to heart, folks, because we're getting there. There's blessings. Man, a lot. Forgiveness is available. Relationship, a sweet relationship with God is available. And so we see the conditions of forgiveness, the process of repentance, and then the consequences of stubborn defiance. Now let's go to the blessing. The blessing of available forgiveness. Not only forgiveness in this matter of salvation, but forgiveness in this matter of keeping our lives clean before God is born against Christians. Now, preacher, man, if I just stay tenderhearted and I just let the Holy Spirit deal with me and I just lay aside my pride, willing to say, yes, I was wrong, and not try to hide my sin, confess my sin daily, and live a tender-hearted life before God. What's the blessings that come with that? The blessings of available forgiveness. Number one, the transgressions are taken away. Let me just list them here. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Transgression is forgiven. And that word forgiven there in connection with the transgression, it literally means kind of almost like a magic act. I hate to say that, but it has the idea of making something completely and utterly disappear. I mean, it was there and it's gone. Where'd it go? I don't know, but God said go and it went. If you drudge the bottom of the ocean, maybe you can find it. If you could find where east and west run into each other, maybe you can find it. But you know what? God has just said gone. Now here we've got this sin in our life, and here we've got this great wrestling match with this situation of sin, whatever it is in our life, and the Holy Spirit's dealing with us. And you know what? We can sit there and fight to hang on to it year after year, or we can bring it before God with true repentance, lay it on an altar, confess it, boom, it's gone. Disappearing act, gone. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God said transgressions are taken away. Taken away. And then it says this, sins are covered. Whose sin is covered? And this idea of covered has the idea of putting, literally, of clothing yourself. And what it's talking about in the sense of nakedness in the Bible being connected with shame, that when we get forgiveness before God, God covers or covers the shame of the sin. So it's not just the actual sin itself or transgression being taken away, but the shame and the guilt of it are covered and hidden. And so we get to that. You know, there's like I said the other day, it's just something about being clean. You know, you feel when you're scroungy, you feel scroungy. When you're clean, you feel clean. And you know what? When you're laden with sin, you're burdened. When you're forgiven for sin, you're free. And there's no better thing than that, to be able to go before God. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That cleansing process, that clean feeling. When's the last time that you could honestly say, preacher, I had a thorough session with God and his Holy Spirit, and I walked out of that session knowing what it feels like to feel 100% clean before Almighty God? I mean, I've dealt with Christians whose testimony in my counseling process in their life has revealed to me that it has been years in their life. And the Bible talks about becoming heavy laden with sin, burdened down with sin, and unconfessed sin on top. And I know that, folks, our sin is forgiven on our eternal record in heaven, but there's also a practical aspect of keeping clean in our daily life. And I believe we don't get to have time to it. I've already talked about the consequences of it. But you begin to see people getting burdened down, heavy laden with sin. Do a little study on that. And that's talking about literally adding a burden a layer at a time. I preached this in a junior camp one time, and I had one of the young men volunteer, and I had a whole stack of towels and blankets stacked up on the platform. And I took a little wash rag and I put it on his shoulder. And you know what? He just stood there. He was fine. And then I took a little hand towel and put it on his other shoulder. You know, the boy was fine. And I'm preaching about this, what it means to be heavy laden with sin. Every once in a while, I go pick up another one. But you know what? You get 20, 25, 35 washcloths and hand towels and bath towels. And they begin to stack, and they begin to stack, and they begin to stack. And this was a strong junior age boy. But you know what? In the process of the next 20 minutes that I kept laying on them, he got heavier and heavier and heavier and more burdened down and more uncomfortable. And I looked at the young people when we had literally stacks of this. Matter of fact, the kid was getting a little warm under it. I almost made him pass out. And I kept checking, are you okay? You know, and looking at him. But the honest truth is, if we could see many Christians, if we could see with the way God sees it, and here they are, every day of their life, they're getting up carrying this burden. Every day of their life, they walk through it. And then they, you know, you wonder why you never see a smile. They never have a good word. Never find a reason. Well, you tell them, look up, see the bright side. You can't see past all the junk. And folks, that's the consequence. Now, here's the thing, isn't that crazy? God says, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful just to forgive your sin, cleanse you all unrighteousness. And so we have an opportunity every day and many times a day to go before God and get our lives clean and stay clean. And there is a freedom that comes with that. The shame, the guilt of that is gone. I've watched young people backslide, and I've watched their grades. Watch this. I've watched their academic grades suffer. I'm not saying every kid that struggles in school is a sinner. Don't read more into it than what I'm saying. I'm just saying, you know what? When you're dealing with the guilt of sin, it affects the way you think. It affects the way you feel. Watch this. It affects your physical body. I'm not saying everybody that's sick and going through this. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, you go ahead and just say, well, you can say whatever you want to, and you know, I don't need to do that. And you're carrying and you're carrying and you're carrying, and after a while, that thing, it just breaks. It starts breaking you down. That's why, from time to time, we need a revival. We need one at Blessed Old Baptist Church every once in a while. Sometimes we schedule them and it happens, and sometimes God just lets it happen in the course of what we're doing. You went through the preaching conference and you never got any help in this area. I guess we wasted a lot of money, but I don't get it. You say, oh, preacher, you're a hobby whore. All right, say whatever you want to, but man, we plan these things. Nothing's said in all of those messages that bring a Christian to an altar. I don't know after a while what you do. Yeah, I really don't. But you're carrying the burden. You can say, well, you can make all your excuses. Okay, but you're still carrying the burden of it. And it is affecting you. And your husband has to live with it. Or your wife has to live with it. And your children have to live with it. Okay? And your church has to live with it. So the blessing of forgiveness, it's almost like God led David to write this beautiful psalm to sell us on the idea of why in the world wouldn't you want to confess your sins and stay right before God? Are you crazy? Look at all of the blessings. So transgressions are taken away. Sins are not covered. Sins are not imputed to your record. Talking about in verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And I won't go into a deep teaching on this. Probably the easiest way to describe it is, again, I preach junior church and I'm teaching on this sometimes. Or junior camp, I'll have a kid with a piece of paper and it'll have sins written across it, and black marks everywhere, and that's on his record. And here's Jesus Christ, and you know what? He has nothing but purity and clean on his record. When you get saved, not only does God take your sins and put them on Christ's record, but he takes Christ's righteousness and put it on your record. You get to swap records. Do you want to stand before God with Jesus' record or with yours? Yeah, amen. That's the amazing part of salvation. It's not just the forgiveness of sins, but the fact that God imputes our sins onto the record of Christ and Christ's righteousness onto our record. And that's how one of these days we can stand before God and be allowed to march into heaven. You know why? Because, you know what? God, Jehovah God, sees the righteousness of Christ on us. And man, that's a good thing. And so we get that blessing. And then if you look down into the scriptures here, it talks about verse 10, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. We talked about missed mercies, but if for those that are forgiven, mercy compasses him about. And it just seems like when a person lives their life clean, the mercy of God just surrounds them. God's mercy is in their lives. It becomes a way of life. And then the last part, verse number 11, the gladness and the rejoicing and what I call the shouting joy. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Now, folks, you want to count your blessing? Here's a blessing for you. We have available to us the blessing of forgiveness. I don't care if it's been 6 months. You can right now. You can, before the next day turns, before midnight strikes, you can find that wonderful secret place before God somewhere, and you can be absolutely 100% clean before God. Man, that's exciting. That's available. It's not just on certain days when they put. It's not just Ash Wednesday that you have the opportunity. Okay. It's not just Saturday night mass you got the opportunity to do that. And that is available anytime, any place for the child of God. And man, one of the benefits, a glad, rejoicing, shouting joy. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. Now, folks, are you a happy Christian? Are you a happy, rejoicing Christian? Because that's one of the benefits. If you're not, ask why not. That's not my personality. That's hogwash. It had nothing to do with the personality. Trust me, the joy of the Lord takes over all kinds of personalities. Your personality doesn't matter who. You get right, you get happy in the Lord, you go through this process, a gladness comes. And so a glad, rejoicing, shouting joy, a shouting joy. Be glad in the Lord, rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all you that are of upright heart. And there is something wonderful about just being forgiven. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this. What a great place to start. What a joy it's been to stand up, Lord, and just advertise, if I can say that, the wonderful blessing of forgiveness. Remind us of the wonderful blessing of forgiveness. Lord, may we go back and find that happy moment that we knew when we got saved. And Lord, it's not a matter of being saved again in order to get that. It's a matter of being clean again. Lord, in the process of our life, it just seems like so much stuff builds up and it's easy for us to be somewhat negligent in attending to these things. Thank you, Lord, that you understand us. Thank you that you are there. And you make this wonderful blessing available to us. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Lord, if we're not clean, it's not because you don't want us clean. If we're not clean, it's not because if we've gone through and met the conditions of forgiveness that you're unwilling to forgive. And so, Lord, we must look on the mirror on this one. Help us, dear God, to get back just being happy, just being joyful, and just getting serious in this matter of our lives and wanting it to be clean and holy before you. The blessings of being forgiven. Because, God, you've promised. You're a forgiving God. Thank you, God. Thank you. May we be forgiving people. May we treat others as you've treated us. We could have taught on, Lord. I feel like time's up. What a terrible thing to take the blessing of forgiveness from Almighty God and then refuse that same blessing to a brother or sister in Christ. So, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd not only make us a forgiven people, but a forgiving people. Lord, may we take that same joy that you provided us and make sure that we make it available for other people. Keep us clean, Lord. Prepare us for Sunday, Lord. Prepare us for Sunday. What an important message. I really didn't see, dear Lord, this message being a preparation message for this week till I was into the message. But thank you, Lord. I see your hand in it. It's important, dear God. May we be clean. May we sanctify ourselves, Lord.